Hello, this is Jim Richards. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I trust it's going to be a blessing to you. It's going to help you. It's going to build you up. You know, we do everything we can to put as much free material, great resources out there on our internet, send them to you, email them to you, put them on YouTube, every way that we can, because we want to invest in your life to help you grow as a disciple, as a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to say this. All of these free messages and the hundreds of series that we have posted on our website and the weekly broadcast that comes to you every single week, all of this is made possible by our Impact World Changer family. The Impact World Changer family is committed to changing the way the world sees God. Because when we see God as He really is, then we can experience what God is actually offering us. If you're interested in helping me change the way the world sees God, be sure to go to the World Changer tab on our website and check it out and find out what you can do. But I want to tell you a couple of things you can do immediately to help me. First of all, anytime you watch one of my weekly messages, be sure to like it by clicking the tab that will come up. And if you will, be sure and subscribe to my YouTube channel. You see, the more people that like and subscribe to videos that are posted online, the more other people will see those videos when they do searches, which means more people will hear these messages, more people will connect with God, more people will be made whole by the love of God, more people will get the help that they need. So that's a tremendous help that you can do right now. Now, for people to see God as He is, one of the things that we must be willing to do is we must be willing to give up any opinion, any point of view, any perspective that we have about God that's not based on what Jesus showed us by His life, by the messages that He taught, and by what was accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection. That's why this new series of mine, Paradigms, Perspectives, and the Glory of God, is so incredibly important, because it's all about removing the obstacles that keep us from seeing God as He really is and keep us from enjoying what God offers us. Now, I want to jump right into this month's free download, The Attitude That Always Wins. Now, one of the things that I say to people, and it really upsets people, God is always trying to lead us. Now, people get upset by that because I'm not hearing God. Or they'll say, you know, something went wrong. God didn't lead me in how to have victory in this. Well, I want you to understand, when we make those kinds of statements, we are actually making an accusation against God, because if His word says He's attempting to lead us, then if we're not experiencing that leadership, then obviously that's got to do with us. It has nothing to do with Him. The very fact that Jesus is our shepherd, the very fact that the Lord is our shepherd, is one of the names of God, means it is His character. It is His nature to always lead us out of the valley of the shadow of death, to always lead us into green pastures and still waters, to always lead us to where there's a table of provision prepared for us. Always. It's His name. And if we believe on His name, then we have to believe that He's always attempting to lead us. See, God always wants you to win. God is always attempting to lead us into the path of victory. And again, the only thing that keeps us from recognizing this leadership is we have our opinion about how God is going to lead us. We have our opinion about how these things happen. And the moment we get locked into an opinion, the honest truth is we become incapable of seeing the options, or incapable of seeing the other things that God is attempting to do. 2 Corinthians 2:14, it should be a familiar text to just about everyone. It says this: "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Now, I want you to understand something, and I'll never forget when God spoke this to me years ago. He said, "I'm more interested in you winning than you are." He said, "I'm more interested in you getting healed than you are. I have put more effort into all the promises becoming yours than you'll ever put into it." And He said, "Because my reputation, my name is at stake in the quality of life that you live." That's exactly what He's saying here. He says that God leads us into triumph, always. There's that word always. Not some of the time, not most of the time, not if it's His will, not if I pray enough. God is always attempting to lead us in triumph, in victory, in success, in winning. And the result of that is that through us, this diffuses, if you will, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. In other words, if people see things working for us, then they understand and they get to see who God really is through what's happened in our life. And I want you to also realize that he puts this emphasis on the fact that he leads us into triumph in Christ. Now, most of us who have any kind of a sense of God working in our lives, we want God to always give us a miracle. We want God to always do something for us independent of anything happening on our part. Now, we don't do works to earn things happening or getting things from God, but everything that God does in our life is always going to be a partnership between what he has done through the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that the Holy Spirit's going to be trying to lead us, the fact that we've got his word that we can read to renew our mind and know it, then we've got to believe him. Our job is to believe and trust God. That's our job. His job then is to lead us into this victory. But we don't want to be led. We want a miracle. We want it to happen in a way that really requires nothing on our part. I recently won an incredible battle in the arena of health. And one of the things that was really interesting is, I really didn't care if I got a miracle, if it happened instantaneously. I didn't care if I had to walk this out. I didn't care. But one of the things that the Lord spoke to me is he said, I can do this in your life in a way that you're going to benefit and you're going to come out of this and you can tell people about it and you can give them a testimony that inspires them. Or I can do this in your life in a way that you can help thousands of other people get healed. And he gave me the choice of how to experience this healing. Well, you know something? I chose to walk this thing out in a way that would empower me or enable me to be able to help other people find their healing more effectively. And what I have found is that most of what happens in my life, God leads me into it. Yes, I have some instantaneous miracles, but most of the victories that I have come from following him. And the amazing thing about that is this. If we follow God into victories, if we make this journey with him instead of just having something instantaneous happening, the character develops in us so that we don't make those kinds of mistakes over and over and over again. So you know what? I want to be led into victory. Now, when I need a miraculous victory, I want one, I'll expect one, I'll get one. But in most of life, I want to be led into victory so that I can grow as a believer, so that I can learn how not to find myself in those situations over and over again. So he leads us in triumph. He leads us into victory. He leads us into overcoming. But remember, to be led, we have to follow. To follow, we have to hear. To hear, we have to be open. We have to trust. We have to know him as he really is. And knowing God as he is only happens through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just because we're in Jesus, but see, to know him as he is, I have got to accept Jesus' opinion of God. I've got to accept Jesus' testimony of who God the Father is. To know him as he is, I must be willing to surrender my every opinion that I have, that I can't validate. In other words, if I can't validate, if I can't see it from Jesus' life, from Jesus' teaching, from his ministry, and through the death, burial, and resurrection, then I have got to readily, easily, without resistance, surrender that opinion so that I can see past that and connect with the truth about God and connect with what God really has for me. Now, we're talking about winning here. I'm going to talk for a few minutes. You know, I've done a lot of training in businesses. I've done a lot of consulting work for churches, church leadership, for pastors, for businesses. And there are three common traits that may be the most common traits held by people who are successful. And we call it FAT. We say everybody's going to be successful. It's got to be FAT. Well, FAT's an acronym for flexible, adaptable, and teachable. Now, I want you to understand something. Anything that works, even if the person that discovered that it works is not a believer, anything that works is going to be consistent with, congruent with what God's word says. Because God's word always, always, always works. Let me put it this way. Truth always works. Now, God's word, just the information itself, doesn't always work, but God's truth always works. See, truth is the wise application of that which is true. Truth is when we apply what is true, when we apply the information and the facts with the same motives that God had when he spoke that truth. So really, we need to move people from a place of just gathering information to a place of wisdom, of being able to walk into information. Now, something that's true answers the question, what needs to be done? But see, truth answers the question of why should I do it? What should my motive be? Wisdom answers the question of how and when it needs to be done. Now, the Bible tells us what is true. Jesus tells us what is truth. Everything he taught, he showed us God's true motives in everything that he said and did. And he showed us the reasons to apply what God has said and done. And so from there, when we align our motives with God's motives, and when we base those motives or function those motives based on what God has said, then we're operating in the truth. And the Holy Spirit then can lead us into the wisdom, the practical application that always ends in victory. But remember, to be led, a person must be fat. They must be flexible. They must be adaptable. They must absolutely be teachable. Now, when I teach these things in a business seminar, it's amazing how people accept it. I teach this in a business seminar, man, people are taking notes, people are analyzing whether or not they're really flexible, whether or not they're really adaptable, whether or not they're really teachable. And, you know, they're trying to find the places where they're not because they want to be successful. They want to make money. You know, it amazes me how if money is involved, you can get people to take steps that they'll never take just because it's truth or just because it's a way to walk in love. Now, remember, any knowledge that works, anything that works, works because it's based on scripture, even though the person who is speaking it may not know that it's scripture. Because anything that is truly based on the truth is always going to work. But here's the incredible thing. It's going to work in any arena of life. It's not just going to work at church. And it's even going to work for those who are not even believers. You know, that's an amazing thing. See, we think that God's truth only works for believers. No, it works for anybody who believes it and puts it into practice because truth is always 100% applicable across the board. It's true, and it works in our spiritual life, in our emotional management, in our relationship, in our child raising, in our marriage, in our income building, in our businesses, in our management, in our leadership style. Truth always works. And anytime that we're applying the truth from God's motives and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, I'm telling you, we're always going to end up on the winning side of things. I tell people all the time, this sounds egotistical, but it's like I never lose. Everything always works out for me. Now, you may be sitting there, you may be getting mad even as you hear me say that, but I'll tell you something. That's a decision that you can make. You can decide to live there. You can decide that life is going to start working for you. And you know what? It will. But I'm sharing with you today, and in this series on paradigms and perspectives, I'm going to be sharing with you some adjustments that you've got to make and how you approach the truth and how you approach life. Probably nothing you need to do except deal with paradigms, perspectives, and come to where you see God's point of view the way God really is, the way God really meant it. Now, the reason the word, and this is just practical, the reason the word applied in truth, you know, with right motives, can cross all boundaries is because, interestingly, see, the word is not about changing circumstances or dealing with circumstances. It's about people. It's about how to communicate with people. It's about how to treat people. You know, I tell people this all the time. You know, all of the commandments are still in force. Now, we're not under law, and I'm never telling people we're under law. We got a new covenant. We're made righteous in Jesus. The commandments don't make us righteous. But the Bible says that all the commandments are fulfilled in this. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, many people say, well, see, all the commandments are done away if you walk in love. No. The commandments define what love is. In other words, you know, paying my bills, keeping my word, being faithful to my wife, loving my kids, teaching my kids the word of God. All of these things are how I walk in love toward God, walk in love toward people, and walk in love toward myself. And one of the greatest failures that religion has always done with the commandments is, and this is where they become legalistic, mean, and hard, is people tend to apply the commandments to how they think other people should act and treat them rather than applying the commandments to how we should treat other people with the intention that they feel loved, with the intention that they feel valuable and precious. And so, you know, when you turn it all around, it really doesn't work. But I'm going to tell you, everything that God's ever said is about people. It's about how to make your life better, how to influence other people so their life becomes better. And everything about success really involves our wisdom and working harmoniously with other people. Now, in today's language or out in the business arena, I would call that people skills, not just management skills, not just leadership skills, but people skills. But before you can become a great leader, before you can become a great manager, you just got to be a great person. You've got to be somebody who applies this stuff to yourself. Now, we can take these same proven methods of success that I've taught in businesses ever and that people have put into practice and succeeded at business. And I can walk into a Christian environment and I can show how these attributes are scriptural, and I can seek to motivate people to apply them to their walk with God. And it's amazing how people will resist it. The moment we take truth and put it into our spiritual paradigm. See, your paradigm is your model of the world. Paradigm has to do with your ideals or your idealism. And it's how you think all the parts interconnect to create a version of reality. We all have our own version of reality that we're living in, and it may not be God's reality, and it may not be the only version of reality that's available to us. So, people have an opinion. They have a point of view. Ultimately, they have a paradigm of how things should be. And amazingly, if we're just talking about it in the business arena, people open up and, boy, they soak it up and they will put it into practice. But you take that same group of people and put them in a spiritual arena, and suddenly their dogma kicks in. Suddenly all their religious influences kick in. Suddenly their sense of security with God, that where they think they have to be right for God to approve them, kicks in. And then people resist the very things that they know will work in a business arena. Now, remember, God is always trying to lead us into winning or into victory in every single situation. So before we move forward, I want to be sure that we have some healthy concepts of what it means to win. Number one, always winning doesn't mean you're always right. As often as not, for me, winning means that I will discover that I'm wrong and that I must change my thinking. Now, in a business arena, I can teach that and people are like, oh, yes, that's wonderful. But if you teach that sometimes in a church setting, people say, well, wait a minute. I just read a book that said I don't have to repent, because see, that's what it means. Changing your mind, you know, discovering you're wrong about something and changing your thinking, that's called repentance. Well, I don't believe in repentance. Well, wait a minute. You know you got to do this in every other arena of life. Why would you not believe in repentance? Simple, because you've got some religious concept of what that means. And many times when religion has abused something in the past, even though it's in the Bible, we throw it out altogether instead of saying, no, let me understand this from a more biblical perspective. But I'm just going to tell you something. Most of my greatest victories come when I recognize that I got to adjust the way I'm thinking, the way I'm seeing something. Another interesting thing that you want to realize is me winning doesn't mean that anyone else has to lose. You know, great leaders, which I said earlier, are really just those who have learned how to be great people, and they've taken that and applied that to leadership and management. But great leaders and godly people always seek to make everyone around them successful if possible. One of the things I do in every situation of business, ministry, is, you know, I can't make you succeed. I can't make things work out for you. I'm not going to make your decisions for you. I'm not going to try to force you into it. You know, we try to do that with our kids, you know, with our adult kids sometimes. It's like, you know, we've lived life. We're older than they are. We got more life experience. We know they start making some kind of decision. We know what the outcome is going to be. And instead of trying to influence them, instead of trying to teach them and doing it in a way that promotes love, in other words, value and respect and all these kinds of things, we try to just force them to do what we want them to do. And, you know, so many times, remember, it's only truth if you're applying it from God's motives and God's intentions, which is love, which means you can't violate a person's self-worth. You can't violate a person's personal value. You can't insult people and be mean to people to get them to obey the truth, because then it's not truth. You're doing it for the wrong motive. Even if they respond properly, they're doing it for the wrong motive, and it's probably not going to work. But I'm going to tell you something. Great leaders and great people want everyone around them to be successful. You know, why do you think Jesus said, pray for your enemies and bless those who curse you? You know, here's the thing I found. If the people who are making trouble for me, if they come into the peace of God, if they come into personal success, if they come into personal happiness and contentment, they're probably going to leave me alone and the conflict is going to end. So great leaders and great people, people who believe the Bible, just want other people to win and enjoy life as much as possible, because they know that the more people out there that win, the more God wins, the more everybody wins. Great leaders also are humble, and they acknowledge the role that other people play in their success. So nobody, not only does nobody have to lose, but we don't want anybody to lose. You know, people who study the Bible from the perspective of walking in love, which is the basis from which we have to interpret every commandment and everything that God ever did and ever said. People who study the Word of God from the perspective of walking in love, we should have the best people skills of any group of people on earth. But sadly, we don't. And, you know, the world is going to rail against the church. Even if we did everything right, the world's going to condemn us, because the world, they don't want morality to give them happiness. They want sexual exploitation. They don't want success with honesty. They just want to go out and take and take and take and take, because they don't believe in the morals and the ethics of the Bible, and they see those as limiting. So they're going to hate us no matter what. But I got news for you. Some of the hatred the world has toward us is very justified because of our self-righteousness, our judgmental attitudes, you know, our unkindness toward people. Listen, we need to be the most kind, loving, patient people. That doesn't mean we need to be doormats. Doesn't mean we need to do what everybody wants. Doesn't mean we need to accept their definition of love and approve of everything they do. You know, Jesus, remember, he's our model. He didn't approve of everything that people did, but he still treated people with respect. You know, the primary reason that we don't have these great people skills is because we don't read the Bible seeking to discover how to live our lives by walking in love. We read the Bible from some religious idea about earning something from God. You know, we're just paying our dues, we're obligated to do whatever. But you know what? Even if we don't have an intimate understanding of behavior, we can still apply just a few simple principles and be effective at interacting with people. You know, when you're committed to walking in love and you get your definition of love from the commandments, from what God taught us that love is, then the real truth is you're going to be an influencer of people and things are going to go well for you. I want to just talk a little bit about these concepts that are involved in always winning. Of course, they include, first and foremost, being flexible, adaptable, and teachable. And I want to understand something. If you are not teachable, in other words, if you can't surrender your opinion, then you can't be teachable, which means you can't be flexible and adaptable. You're going to be rigid and you're going to resist change at all costs. See, in reality, a person who is flexible, adaptable, and teachable is really just what the Bible calls a disciple. We are trying to follow Jesus. We want to live like he lives. Why? Because we believe that's the kind of life that works. So here is what this could look like when we put this into practice, if I'm flexible, adaptable, and teachable. Number one, my opinion is just my opinion. Just because it's my opinion doesn't mean it's right. It's just how I'm assessing the situation. Number two, how I see anything is not necessarily how it really is. It's just how I see it from where I'm standing right now. Number three, I don't know why anyone does anything, and until they tell me, I'm not going to know. And number four, I'm going to always be ready to surrender my opinion for a better idea, a more biblical idea, a more workable idea. So, man, that's the starting place. That's the core attitude to a person who always wins. But let's move it forward a little bit. Another trait of people who always win is being able to see the unseen. Now, people who can see the unseen are people of promise. You see, all the promises of God, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are ours in Jesus. The answer to anything that the Bible has ever promised anybody, the answer is yes for you. You don't have to pray if it's the will of God. Jesus took care of that for us. He received an inheritance. We are in Him. We have that inheritance. We share that inheritance. Nothing to pray about. We just got to make some decisions. And so we're people of promise. We are people who can focus in on a promise and see it, even though there's nothing in our circumstances to confirm it. There's nothing in our circumstances to prove it. We can just see the promise because we choose to. Now, I want to tell you something. The world, we would call these people visionaries. And, you know, really, the Bible even talks about having a vision. Where if we don't have a vision, we perish and we dry up. We lose control. We lose our boundaries. People who see the unseen are people who see the end from the beginning, which is an incredible trait that we want to have. So, you know, we want to develop the ability to see, perceive, to imagine, however you do it, the outcome promised by God's word. And we want to establish a life of new covenant prayer. Now, you probably heard me say this before if you've listened to me very much. The Hebrew word for prayer literally means to judge or assess and to reconcile. And so when Jesus taught us about prayer, and you know, there's just not much good teaching on there anywhere about the Lord's Prayer. But whenever he taught us about, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, he wasn't talking about, God, you make your kingdom come. I'm going to establish your kingdom. And then he tells us the things we have to deal with to establish kingdom living here in this life. So every day we should be assessing areas of our life, and those areas of our life that are not in line with what Jesus accomplished at the cross. I'm delivered from the curse. I'm qualified for all of the kingdom provision, and all the promises of God are yes for me because I'm in Jesus. So any area of my life that is looking like the curse, that's looking like something that's not working based on the word of God, then I've got to reconcile that. What I'll do, I reconcile it in my heart first. I embrace that truth. I reconnect to the promise. I see, meditate, ponder, think, imagine, whatever, however you do it, until that promise becomes my reality. Now, see, I have reconciled that. Now that part of my life is going to come back in line with the word of God. Another thing that happens in people who always win is they realize, I am bigger than the obstacles. I'm bigger than the circumstances. Now, this is really just what it means to be a person of faith in reality. Or actually, this is what a person who knows who they are in Jesus would say. I'm bigger than my circumstances because I am in Jesus. Now, many people are taught their whole life to have what we call away from motivation. And away from motivation means when you see an obstacle, the way you get relief is to move away from it, move away from conflict. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a wise time to do that. But you've got sometimes to have to engage situations. There are other people who are more toward motivated. And toward motivated person says, I am not trying to move away from conflict. I'm trying to move toward the promises. Now, you don't have to be a person who loves conflict or stays in conflict or races toward conflict, but you can and should become a person who is motivated by and always seeking to move toward the promise. So you're not motivated by what you can avoid. You're motivated by what you're pursuing. Number four, people who always win always factor God into every equation. You say, well, how do I factor God in every equation? Well, first of all, and as you'll discover in this series in Paradigms of Perspectives, you know, we're going to talk about the in Him, the in Christ factor. And I bring that up all the time because it's one of the most important things we ever need to know and establish our heart in. I'm in Christ, so I'm never facing a situation without Him. It was just like when David faced Goliath. Man, he walked out. All the armies of Israel, they were scared to death. They were hiding and shaking and quaking. And David goes and looks at him and he says, you know what? And he didn't, this is a paraphrase, but he kind of says, look, you know what? God's bigger than this giant. God's going to deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hands. In other words, this is the God factor. You know, we look at those situations today and say, I'm in Christ. Jesus is in me and I'm in him. We are one in God. I am not alone. It's sort of like in the Old Testament when Elijah's servant said, man, you know, the armies of Syria, I believe it was, have surrounded us. We're in trouble. And his master says, don't be afraid. There's more with us than there are with him. Man, he brought in the God factor and he prayed for his servant's eyes to be open and he saw this host of angels round about him. See, our problem is we've got our eyes closed, but our eyes are closed because of our opinion. Our eyes are closed because we're focusing in on something more than we're focusing on God's truth and God's reality. And you can change that. This is not painful. This is not hard. This is just making some decisions based on God's truth. But as much as anything, it's about coming to that place where I am flexible, I am adaptable, and I'm teachable because I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, and this is almost redundant, but I'm going to say it anyhow. If I'm going to win every time, I've just got to see every circumstance from God's perspective. I've got to see every circumstance as if he is the one fighting the battle. And that's very close to what I said before, but that's just something you want to factor in. Number six, I want to live with an abiding awareness of Christ in me, and me in Christ, and us in God. You know, one of the programs that we have here is called Essential Heart Physics, and Essential Heart Physics is a 30-day life-altering program. And we tell people that do heart physics, you know, you may have something miraculous happen. We get incredible testimonies of healings and finances change and relationships change. I mean, we get crazy testimonies of things you just can't even imagine. But I always tell people, don't ever do heart physics from the perspective of trying to get anything. Because the one thing that you want to have happen when you do heart physics, and this is what people come out of this with, you want to come out of this 30 days from now with an immovable awareness of Christ in you, because Christ in you is the hope of the glory of God. And you can't experience or see the glory of God if you can't experience and have this awareness of Christ in you. And so, you know, people go through heart physics, I tell you, it becomes life-changing. They get over problems they've had their whole life. But the amazing thing is that provides a foundation. Just imagine what would happen if when you face some situation, and instead of being engulfed with fear and panic and going into depression, then finally a week or two later, you come to your senses and you go pray and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I got in touch with Jesus now. I think I might win. I want to tell you something. You don't have to have that downtime. You don't have to have that time of struggling. You don't have to have any of that going on when you have an abiding awareness of Christ in you. You face every situation because up to the moment, at this second, this instant, you have the awareness of Christ in you. And because you know he's in you, you have a sense of limitlessness. You have a sense of all things are possible. You have that sense that because Christ is in me, nothing is beyond my reach, you know, within the Word of God. And number seven, you want to establish your heart in your new identity. I am telling you, and of course, this is all part of connecting with the reality that Christ is in you, that you're in him, and that we all are in God in Christ. I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. You're not the person you used to be. But see, the problem is you have an opinion about yourself based on your life experiences. You have an opinion about yourself based on your successes and failures. You have a way that you see yourself fitting into the world. And it is that very opinion, that is that very perspective of yourself that limits you and makes you not pursue some of the things you'd like to pursue, not take some of the chances that you would like to take, not launch out whenever the Holy Spirit's leading you. You know, most of the times when people fail to follow God, good people, godly people, when they fail to follow God, it's very rarely because we have lost confidence in God. It's usually because we have lost confidence in ourselves through continually starting and quitting something. Well, I'll tell you something. You got to give all that up and establish your sense of self, your sense of who you are, how you feel about yourself is, and how you see yourself. as being one with Jesus. Man, you talk about a game changer. Now remember, the number one thing that's going to keep me from embracing and living and the attitude that always wins is going to be my opinion. And my opinion shapes my perspective, and my perspective shapes my judgments, and my judgments shape my paradigm. And before long, I cannot see the glory of God. I cannot see God's reality because I am so vexed and overcome with a reality that I have created out of my own life experience. Listen, paradigms, perspectives, and the glory of God. This is all about being able to move past your opinion. I want you to know something. Just beyond your opinion is the healing that you need. Just beyond your opinion is the financial breakthrough you need. Just beyond your opinion and your judgment is the resolution of your marriage conflicts. Just beyond your opinion is the glory of God, the reality of God. And as soon as you give up your reality, then you're going to begin to see the reality of God. You're going to see, experience, live in, and manifest the glory of God. I hope this has helped to you. I hope this motivates you. I hope this inspires you. And I encourage you to be sure every week and tune in for Impact Cyber Church, where I'm teaching you the Word of God, teaching you who you are in Jesus. And if you really want to go deeper into this and you really, as a disciple, are seeking to pursue these things in a life-changing way, be sure and get my series, Paradigms, Perspectives, and the Glory of God. And I want you to know, every time you purchase any product from us, that 85% of that money that you spend on that product is going into reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're committed to reaching 1 billion people and developing them as disciples all over the world. So when you make an investment by purchasing these products, number one, you're making an investment in yourself. And you know, it's amazing. Again, in the business world, everybody knows they've got to make investments in themselves. But in the church world, not so much. People don't realize that. If I'm going to be a disciple, you know, the early disciples, they made investments. You know, they sold their businesses. They gave up their businesses. They made investments and paid the price for what it took to follow Jesus and be there and learn from him and learn at his feet and learn the Word of God. So that's what you do. When you buy these series, number one, you're making an investment in yourself. But because 85 cents out of every dollar goes into the ministry, then you're also making an investment in the rest of the world. Hope you enjoy this. Hope you bless. Look forward to talking to you again.